This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Sunday morning. That is Larry Graham song, a big hit for him back in the 80s with One in a Million You. It's a Sunday morning, beautiful day outside, and it's time now for another edition of the Carol Cox Show. at 8:05, 8:09 on this Sunday. Anyway, here's Carol, and let's get on with the show.
All righty. Good morning, everybody, and thanks, Francis. Larry Graham, one in a million, you. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and I have today a guest that's going to be joining us shortly, Mr. Sid Singer. And Mr. Sid Singer is actually a medical anthropologist and conservationist who lives and resides on the Big Island and quite active in many of the issues over there. And what I best describe Mr. Singer as being one of us, just a citizen who has the right, the interest to express himself, and like myself and you out there. So why I invited him, he's been experiencing, like myself, the shutout, the cold shoulder by big government. And what we're going to talk about, there's an issue right now, just one of many issues, about alien species and the approach to eradicate by the state and the federal government. And what we have found is that the government here has set up dummy nonprofit organizations where state personnel are actually the officers in the nonprofit. And so when a person like myself or Mr. Singer or you, the general public, go in to make comment or give your opinion of something, they don't listen. They never intend to listen. So they shut you out and they don't allow you to speak, or they give you 1 minute, or they have you escorted out, as you'll hear from Mr. Singer. But I hope that this morning's show will bring some light to many issues. For example, the DLNR, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Agriculture Department, how they have set up a dummy nonprofit, and it's called the Hawaiian Conservation Alliance. And from there, they solicit money now. They already get a budget that they squander and mismanage, but now they have a nonprofit organization. And we're going to talk extensively about it. And I hope that I can connect the dots and not leave you confused and thinking that I'm sitting here and Sid and I are paranoid. But I think this is a good opportunity to bring to light what the people on the Big Island like Sid and others and throughout the state are experiencing. There's this new trend where government is tricky in suppressing the voice of the people. And I hope that Sid and I can demonstrate that this morning. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Carol.
How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. A little bit of bog where we are, but it's still paradise.
Are you in L.A.?
Sometimes I think so.
Hey, well, thanks for joining me, and I want to make sure that people go away with understanding what it is we're discussing today. I don't want to get, and as you and I have discussed, we want to bring to the tables what you, as a citizen in a free nation, in a democracy, who attempt to express yourself and have had some difficulty. So the best way to say it is let it rip. Tell us about it.
Well, the issue, you know, without getting into too much detail, the issue we're dealing with is the proposed release infestation of our forests with this introduced scale insect to attack everyone's strawberry guava.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you think that's a good idea or not, it affects all of us, and there are thousands of people on the Big Island who are opposed to this idea and have been trying very hard to get the message to the government. I run actually an organization, a nonprofit called the Good Shepherd Foundation, which took a lead role in this with our Save the Guava campaign, because the insect was going to be released last summer. It was very sneakily passed through the system so that no one really knew what was going on. No one was even aware of the plan to release this infestation against our strawberry guavas. And as we've been fighting it, we've been getting extreme amount of resistance from the government, whose minds are completely made up. In fact, this process, to show how little they care about our opinion, you know, when they do an environmental assessment, they should do that at the beginning of a process so that they see that all the stakeholders are involved, that everyone knows what's going on, and it's transparent. In this case, they started doing their research on an insect to attack strawberry guava back in the 90s, have spent over 10 years finding what insects they think might work, and now they're ready for their experiment to release and see what happens. And at the end, they do their EA real quick, expecting the public isn't even going to know about it or respond. And we found out about it, like, at the last minute. And we notified the media with this, you know, a shocking question. That, does anybody realize that they're wanting to release this insect to attack strawberry guava? And the response everyone was, really? I never heard of that. Why would they want to do that? And then there were some newspapers that were very interested in this in the Big Island. The Hawaii Tribune Herald did a story on this. The Honolulu Advertiser and the Star Bulletin, the assignment editors, were interested. They told me I'd be contacted by a reporter. TV did some stories on this. KITV and KHON did stories on this. But then the government found out that the light was turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And they contacted the media, killed the stories. Both interviews with me were canceled by the Honolulu papers. The Star Bulletin ended up coming out with a pure press release from the government without any recognition that there was public opposition. And the editor of the Big Island newspaper told me personally that he was read the riot act by the government. They said, this release is going to happen. You will not cover opposition to this. You know, this is going to happen. I mean, they were just very firm.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was like a censorship started happening over the whole issue, which got worse. I don't know, should I go on with the story, or do you want to comment so far?
Well, go ahead, and we have enough time, and just, you know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, what happened after that was because the issue, you know, was obviously going to affect everyone, and everyone was shocked. Representative Tsuji, Cliff Tsuji, who's in the State House, he's from the Big Island, one of our districts, he decided to, he actually chairs the Ag Department and refused to hear a recent biocontrol, that's going down the story, but he's opposed to all of our efforts. And in this first thing that he did, he called a meeting at the University of Hawaii where it was held, and it was supposed to be a public information meeting to deal with this issue and give the public a chance to comment and address the issue and ask questions and so forth. And I asked him before the meeting, I said, you know, this is a controversial issue. I have a background in biochemistry and in biology and medicine, and I certainly read their research, and I had a lot of concerns and a lot of things they've ignored. So he refused to let me be a speaker at that meeting. And then he had at the meeting like all the government guys, all these agencies, these departments giving their presentations. It was a two-hour meeting. It was supposed to be half their presentations and half the public comments. What ended up happening was, the public, if they had questions, they had to write them down on an index card and hand them to the people that were collecting the cards, and they would then get a response later in writing so that nobody's questions were to be heard by anybody. And these speakers went on for over an hour and a half with their slideshows and their PowerPoints, ignoring issues and actually lying about issues, because I read their environmental assessment. I knew what was a lie and what wasn't. They were completely exaggerating what was going on, and they refused to let anybody contradict them or even have a say. I had to stand up several times saying, give the public a chance to speak. And Tsuji interrupted me, would not let me even say a thing, and threatened me with expulsion from the meeting if I would continue. By the end of their hour and a half of constant propaganda, I once again stood up and said, you need to give the public, I want 2 minutes. And he had me ejected by security. He would not allow any comment.
Mm-hmm.
Later we got, to finish the Tsuji story, there was Senator Takamine and Representative Nakashima from the Big Island submitted a resolution on the state level to ban biocontrol against relatives of the ohia, because one of the problems is that one of the concerns is the strawberry guava is in the myrtle family, and it's related to the ohia and to eucalyptus and mountain apple and a whole bunch of other fruit trees. And if anything attacks one of them, there's a chance that they can attack others within the same family. And ohia, you know, could theoretically be attacked by the scale as it adapts and evolves. And that's a concern that scientists have, too. And this resolution was to address that and say we shouldn't be releasing things against relatives of the ohia. Well, actually, I'm sorry, that was the one on the county council level. The one on the state level was biocontrol against food crops, because people need this food, and when they release this biocontrol, it goes into everyone's backyard, and you can't grow strawberry guava for your own food, or banana polka, or lilikoi, or all these other things that they're wanting. Thimbleberry, they want to release biocontrol against all these. So this was to protect our food. That was the one on the state level. And Tsuji heads the Ag Department, the Ag Committee, and he didn't allow a hearing on that at all. So the bills just died on both the Senate and House level without a hearing. So again, another nice censorship.
Right.
On the state level, we had that other one about the ohia protecting, and that was postponed until after the new environmental assessment comes out.
Right.
So that's sort of part of the story there.
Well, you know, it's sad to hear what you're experiencing, but it is fact and it's true, and I, too, have received the same type of treatment. But just give you an example out there, folks. This is what we're dealing with. Keep this name in mind, the Hawaii Conservation Alliance. And that alliance is the Center for Conservation Research, which is University of Hawaii, the Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Aquatics Division and Forestry, Kamehameha Schools, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the National Marine Fisheries Service Sanctuaries, the National Park Service, the Forest Service, the Nature Conservancy, Office of Hawaiian Affairs, U.S. Army Garrison Hawaii Natural Resources Program, Ecological Services, National Wildlife Refuge Complex with Fish and Wildlife Service and Biological Resources. Now, that is the Hawaii Conservation Alliance. Now, the big question is, so when Sid goes in to make a testimony, they've already have their minds made up, because you see the president of the Conservation Alliance Foundation is Randy Kennedy, who is the manager for the National Natural Areas Reserve in the state DLNR. And then there's Dr. Stephen Miller, who is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but he serves as a vice president, and also there's a Christopher Puttock, who is at University of Hawaii. So when Sid Singer goes in to make presentation and give his opinion and his concerns, they're not going to listen because they have this dummy company. So how is it, Sid, that, in your opinion, you can share with me, how is it that a state employee and a federal employee can run a nonprofit, and the address, by the way, is 1151 Punch Bowl Street, how is it that they can use those resources as a nonprofit organization, be housed in a state office, and work on time or duty? How are they separating?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Their conflict of interest is incredibly bad. I also, you know, another interesting way of, you know, the Forest Service that's doing this, before this was even done in 2005, before there was an EA, the Department of Ag issued a permit to allow this insect release. Why would they do such a thing? I inquired, and there's another group besides this alliance called CGAPS, the Coordinating Group for Alien Pest Species, and it sounds like exactly the same thing. They're these nonprofit public-private partnerships that are creating policy. They're lobbying groups, and they get funding for their projects. This is the same with the Invasive Species Councils.
Mm-hmm.
They have the invasive species committees have members that are the heads of these departments and private interests.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is their minds are made up way before any of the public comments can come in. The DLNR is going to be the deciding agency on the next EA that comes out on this insect release, and yet their minds are completely made up. They're even stacking their website to promote this council that you just mentioned. They've come out with a big propaganda piece supporting their insect and trying to vilify the strawberry guava, and, you know, that there's no other alternative. We got to infest and see what happens. And they're on the website of the DLNR, I don't have access to that. They won't list me on the DLNR website. So they're promoting the people on this council, which then tells the government to give more money to these same departments and agencies. And it's absolutely, the conflicts of interest is mind-boggling.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned that and touched on it a bit regarding the website. Folks, what I was able to uncover here is it's disturbing in that on the State Department of Land and Natural Resources website. Now, keep in mind, here's Sid Singer and other citizens that have opinions and they want to be heard, and in a democracy, supposedly, due process and all of that is afforded to all. But in this instance, Sid and others, or even myself, don't get a chance to comment or be heard equally. And, for example, at the website of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, you can go there to hawaii.gov/DLNR. And what you will see, a picture of a guava. And in there, this is the other organization, so make a note of this. Conservation Council for Hawaii. Calls for control of strawberry guava in Hawaii. Strawberry guava is a threat to 90% of remaining forested land statewide. Contact your elected officials and let them know you support the proposal to use Technococcus ovatus to control strawberry guava. But to go further, on 4/17/09 in the news release, Conservation Council for Hawaii calls for control of strawberry guava in Hawaii. Now, most of you know that I spend my day and night trying to protect the environment, and I'm not taking issue with the attempts to protect. What I'm taking an issue with is that they would take Sid Singer and myself and others, the general public, exclude us and give a nonprofit organization exclusive access to a state website to present and promote their propaganda or whatever you would like to describe it. Sid, would you like to have the same opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. I've written the DLNR and asked them to be on their website. I've asked to present at the so-called open house propaganda meetings, which is what they really are, that they want to do, and they've been doing throughout the state. They won't let us come to those. We're being shut out completely. And I have two websites on this. It's not like we're just trivial players here. Mm-hmm. We represent thousands of people that have signed petitions. We have over 5,000 signatures on petition against this on the Big Island. And, you know, and yet we don't have a voice at all. It's completely unfair. And then we're going to have a comment period that they're going to do, and we have to comment to the DLNR.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can we possibly get a fair hearing when the entire system, it has its mind made up, and they're just going to ram this insect down our throats?
And so they are predisposed, and I want to harken back on this. It's disturbing that here's a government agency, or government agencies, plural, that are funded. They squander their money. They don't spend it properly. We have problems every day with the environment. And yet, they then go out and create a dummy organization to draw in more public monies and grants and donations from others. What do they do with that money? And then they use it to fence you out. So I, in fact, spoke to Miss Laura Thielen of the DLNR. And like you said, who would have a desire to post something up? I wasn't really interested in posting. I wanted to complete the cycle to show the unwillingness on her part, or the DLNR, that this great conspiracy, and this is what it is, to defraud the public and suppress their voice. I inquired of her, Laura Thielen, could I post a letter on the DLNR website? She said, no, you can't, because you're a nonprofit. You can post it on your own website. You have a website. This is what she told me. I said, could you consult the technicians? Well, I can, but I can tell you I would be inclined to say no, and in fact, I will say no. Well, I even have a recorded message from a secretary. But, Sid, I did go also further to file a complaint with the Ethics Commission and the State Ethics Commission, and hopefully, from a standpoint of a citizen, and I want to see something happen on this one, because this is fraud. How can a state worker sit in a state office and run a nonprofit? And how can a state agency lend its website to a nonprofit organization while not lending it to or making it available to others like yourself?
Totally. I agree. I'm so glad you did that.
So what do you see, what would you like to see done in this instance to get fair and as they put it, a level playing field? That just cracked me up. They real quick, like their brochure that this conservation for Hawaii put up. Leveling the playing field in Hawaii's native forests. Do you want a level playing field to have your voice heard?
Oh, you bet. I think the entire process is so corrupted that it can't work. It's all based on the integrity of the people doing the environmental assessments and carrying through, you know, Section 343 of the Hawaii Revised Statutes deals with the whole environmental assessment process. And it doesn't work if the people doing it are corrupted, mm-hmm. because they're supposed to consider the public's the impact this has on the public, and they already have a finding of no significant impact set and established for this. The first EA they came out with ignored the cultural impacts of taking mm-hmm. away strawberry guava, what it's going to do to private property when damage to trees occurs, that we have to mitigate the damage. They say you're going to have to spray or bulldoze, and they're not going to pay us for it. At least they didn't offer. So you have all of these things. If they think it's not an issue, they just say it's not an issue. It's a finding of no significant impact. They don't even want to do an environmental impact statement to assess the situation. And then they leave it to us to have to sue them. So our only recourse is in the courts, which is expensive, and we have to hope the courts are not as corrupt as the rest of this system.
Mm-hmm.
But they're clearly not out there to get... There is no agency that's a third-party disinterested agency that's reviewing the EA. I mean, there's the submitting agency, and then there's the approving agency, and the DLNR is the approving agency when they're completely committed to this. They've even helped fund this research into this insect. Like the Department of Ag has too. They've funded these things, and now at the end they ask the public. So it's just a pro forma thing. They're just going through the motions of asking the public for input.
Right.
And then they ignore those things and go ahead and do what they want to do and leave it to the public to have to sue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way to run a government.
Yeah, well, apparently in 2006, this administration, the Lingle administration, thought that it was the proper way to do it. And this is when this, if you go to the DCCA, you'll see that the active date for this activity was, the registration date was September 20th, 2006, is September 20th, 2006. This is when they started to set up the dummy organizations. And by the way, the purpose they declare for this dummy organization, and I call it that with liberty, great liberty, because, first of all, you cannot have and justify, I deny, or I'll challenge anyone to say that they can balance this while working for the state and running a nonprofit and using the state address to run the nonprofit, and then you become the president of the nonprofit. Is there a conflict in your work, or are you just being an implement? So what they claim was the purpose was the Hawaii Conservation Conference forums and workshops, and quote, My Hawaii, end quote, story project for middle school students. This is what they say their purpose is. But their purpose apparently seemed to be interfering and propagating and promoting propaganda?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when the public here, 95 out of 100 people are opposed to this insect release. But as soon as we get our side up, and they now suddenly have Marjorie Ziegler with her Conservation Hawaii, which is all part of this committee, come up with this council you're talking about. They come up with this propaganda piece, slick literature, that goes around to the entire legislature. And it's interesting. I got responses from Takamine. He said, oh, boy, you stirred up the hornet's nest now. And it's like they all fear these people.
Right.
And there's like some sort of control that these groups have. And no one is going to step out of line. And that's one of the really scary things, because when you do an EA, you know, there's supposed to be comments by different agencies that are supposed to protect the environment, and they're supposed to look at these proposals and give their feedback on how it might be a problem. But these guys are so friendly with each other that they never contradict each other on these things. And these councils make the minds up before the EAs are even done, so everyone's on the same page.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm finished. It's just one big sales pitch. And then they use this council as they're going to be the ones that are going to be out there in front of the public getting all, you know, whenever they hold a meeting, they're going to be able to speak. We're not going to be able to speak. So this cards are completely stacked against us.
Right, and no one's out there policing the greenies. And I don't mean that to be mean-spirited in any sense. It's just that I have, I'm the president of an organization, EnviroWatch, that I founded. And that purpose was to ferret out exactly these types of things, waste, fraud, and abuse in government. And I'll tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is an 11. This is shameful practice. But to go further, when we look at, for example, the Conservation Council for Hawaii. Now, good intentions, good people, but somewhere the state, or the federal government, has learned a way in managing them and enticing and bringing them into the fold. Now, they are, if you go to the National Wildlife Federation website, the National Wildlife Federation, NWF.org, and you'll see the National Wildlife Federation. And in there, they'll tell you. If you want to see their affiliated wildlife organizations, click on it, and you'll come up with the Conservation Council for Hawaii. So this thing goes all the way to the top, and I'm not saying what they're doing is, I'm not accusing them of doing something wrong. What I'm saying is that how the state and the federal government, federal agencies, who are putting this proposal in, who has a desire, has learned to manipulate while silencing voices such as Sid. And I actually pulled up all the documents, not all, but went to the Big Island and recovered some of the testimonies. And many people are opposed to it. But this, Sid, you know, there are other issues there. And do you think you've seen these same tactics on other environmental issues?
Oh, completely. You know, the Cokie Frog issue is a very interesting one because in that case, that's another interesting private property issue because they've passed a law, and this is the only animal in the entire county, Hawaii statutes, that's pointed out as it will be declared a pest by the Department of Ag, which then gives them the right to come onto private property to spray. And why is this the first place in the world that they've considered a frog a pest at all? And the reasons for it were not scientific at all, and it was being just totally shoved down, you know, to the system. You couldn't even argue with these people. And that what they do is they set up these groups, these invasive species committees, are the same thing that you're talking about. They're these public-private partnerships. And then the private part can come up with statements, like with this council now about strawberry guava. If you look at their statements, they're really not true. And they're such exaggerations. It's like a PR firm is trying to sell something. And then the government presents that as fact. Same thing with the Cokie thing. I mean, there was tremendous conflicts of interest with there because the university wanted to test caffeine. It's a long story. But there was some money behind it, a lot of corruption, and there was complete silencing of opposition, censorship. Mm-hmm. You could not get the word out. And the media seems extremely controlled by the government. I've seen it because I've called, I've spoken with editors who were excited about what I was saying, and then it gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a real there's an ideological tyranny on the level of the state, these invasive species people who are really pest industry representatives are making business for themselves, advising the all the department heads are part of it, so they're all agreeing on what the problem is and how much money they want to spend on it. They have a conflict of interest. They let things into the state, and then they go and try to deal with them, and then they get more money.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are defining the problem, getting the money, and just controlling the whole thing are these same government guys who we then have to appeal to try to talk sense into them and see that there's another side to this issue.
Absolutely insane. And the part on the part of the government, it's I think it's one of the greater insults and assaults on public speech. And then here's the Hawaii Conservation Alliance. For example, the Conservation Can't Wait campaign. Now, to show you how deep this thing run and how political and how strategic this thing is being used, there is current conference bill HB 1741 identifies the Land Conservation Fund retains its 10% from conveyance taxes. They want you to call in. Now, this is a state. Now, remember now, this is a conglomerate of state and federal agencies presenting themselves as a public nonprofit organization. But it's all government telling you to go and solicit money and write Governor Lingle to sign a bill. Contact the governor's office today, voicing your support for keeping these programs intact through HB 1741. And then contact information, Governor Lingle and her address, and it goes on and on and on. So these are state workers lobbying through nonprofit organizations, dummy nonprofit organization, and other nonprofit organizations that would lend themselves. And there's a list of organizations that have visited the different organizations supporting the Conservation Can't Wait campaign. And some of them, Hawaii Association of Watershed Partnerships, Hui Ko Ma'oli Ola, the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii, Invasive Species Committees of Hawaii, there you are, Sid, Maui Coastal Land Trust, Trust for Public Lands Hawaii, Kahea, Sierra Club, Hawaii Chapter, Board of Staff of Kanu Hawaii, Ma'o, Organic Farms, Conservation Council of Hawaii, Hawaii Conservation Alliance Foundation, Office of Hawaiian Affairs. How can you possibly contend or compete with this, Sid, when you walk into a meeting you only get 1 minute?
I know. In fact, you know, talking about having 1 minute, you know, on the county council, last year, Brenda Ford, one of our council members, introduced a resolution to ban this insect against the strawberry guava. The government came in force. There must have been about 30 to 40 government people saying the same thing over and over and testifying, and we were supposed to speak first because it was our resolution to oppose this insect release, so you'd think that you'd want to present your case since you're one making the resolution. We were going to. But then at the end, I don't know what pressure the government did to Brenda Ford, but for some reason, the government got to make their case. They got a PowerPoint presentation selling the thing again, and as people came in, they must have text messaged their friends at the university or wherever from the departments of Ag and DLNR. They were coming in droves, and they were being put right in front of the list to testify first. We saw that by the clerk was putting their names in front of everybody. We had women and children, sick people, the public, wanting to testify, even children testify, because they eat this stuff. They want, it affects everyone, and they wanted to have their words to the public. And in a public venue like this, they had to wait 6-7 hours. Some of them left because they could not take it. I had to wait like 8 hours to give my 3 minutes of testimony.
Well, you get an hour today, and we'll. I just hope that the public out there don't go away thinking that you and I are sitting here just venting. If they knew the full details, and I'm going to try, and they can actually, you can listen to this again carolcox.com. I was interrupted here for a minute. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L, cox.com. Or you can email us at carol@carolcox.com. And the whole idea is to try and get an understanding. If I'm not advocating for Sid, and I'm not advocating for anybody, but this is the basic issue here. You have a government who is obligated and has a fiduciary responsibility to do certain things by law. We pay them handsomely. They squander that, and then they turn around. And when they want to implement some rule or some practice or some policy, they go out and put a billboard up, which is fake and has a facade, but it's the same people running it, 8 to 5, running two agencies or two organizations, taking money. And God only knows where that money is going now, because they're being a nonprofit. They don't have to declare, only in the 990. So how does a state officer and a federal officer get involved? So, Sid, let's try our darnest to bring this to light. And I was asked that if you would stay on for the next show coming on the Hawaii Bulletin Board, if you are agreeable to that.
Oh, of course.
But I go ahead and just help yourself as to what other things you'd like to share regarding this issue.
Well, I think the biggest thing that everyone should be considering is they have not done a cost-benefit analysis on the strawberry guava issue. There was a similar thing in Florida that happened. They had this disease, citrus canker, that was affecting citrus trees, and the government came in and took out people's trees. And they had to pay them for the damage. You know, in our country, the government can't do something for the public good without compensating people for the damages done.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the government is not considering that at all. They're recognizing that their insect, in their environmental assessment that they are having to redo, and the last ones, they recognize that it's going to affect the beauty of our ornamental trees, it's going to reduce the fruit, it's going to basically give us a problem to deal with, because we're going to have sick trees on our properties. Millions of these are owned. So clearly, if the government wants to do this, if it's really that important, then they should be sitting down with the public, figure out how much these trees are worth, how to assess the damage and the value that they're taking so that they can compensate us, because this is like an inverse condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not getting any honest dialogue. Instead, they're trying to use public relations people to convince everyone that your trees are a weed, that it's only an issue of a couple of jars of jam that you can easily forego, and we need to do this or our forests are dead. And they have this mantra that they keep on saying about, you know, save the forest, save the forest, and they ignore the fact that this is only one possible method among others, mm-hmm. and releasing an infestation that's experimental. That's another thing. This is coming from an experimental group, the Pacific Southwest Research Station, which is a part of the USDA Forest Service, but it's not part of their Forest Health Protection Program.
Right.
This actually is a pure research center, and I called and found that out from the Forest Service. They get their own grants, and this is a grant to release an insect and see what happens as it spreads across the state. And the government is committed to it. And we are being told that they don't want to consider these broader issues. I think they're so dishonest that it's it's difficult to understand how to deal with it apart from legal recourse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for attorneys. If there's an attorney listening that would like to help, please let us know. We need to let the government know that they need to be accountable. Because I'm concerned what they're going to do is they'll just figure, let the future worry about this.
Right. And, you know, the reason I want to focus on this particular strategy of the state and the federal government, it could be employed anywhere. This template can be laid over any subject, whether it's super fairy, which we saw some of this activity. You don't know when the public hear, oh, the conservationists and the environmentalists are for that. But if you know that the person speaking is a government employee who is at 8 to 5 writing the press release to say that the government agency is for this, and then at the same 8 to 5 hours, he's writing another memo on behalf of the dummy nonprofit to say that this nonprofit organization who stands for the environment is for this. So the public then says, well, that's fair and balanced, and that's everybody's participating. But it's not.
Well, it's clear. It's clear when they have websites and information that is completely one-sided. That was the same thing with the Koki issue. which I thought was just such a boondoggle. I mean, they spent millions and millions, and every time they sprayed for cookies, it spread the frogs. I even told them when they did that at Lavatree State Park, which I live near, the frogs were in the park, pretty much confined. When they came in and attacked the park with herbicide and cut things down and sprayed and did everything they could, the frogs were still there. Their official kill count was like 20 frogs. And they spread within a half a mile all around the park. And then I called the guys and I said, you know, you spread the frogs. And he said, don't say that. Like, they refused to admit that they were actually perpetuating and creating the problem that they were then going to ask for more funding to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, you know, so there's no third-party objective review board. There should be. The OEQC, the Office of Environmental Quality Control, which is part of the Department of Health, they administer the environmental assessment process, but they don't have any say. I was told by them that years ago, decades ago, they actually were doing the review. They're like a separate disinterested third party. But then somehow they decided that they didn't have enough information, so therefore whoever's submitting the information really knows the most about it, so they should be making the final decision. But talk about conflict of interest. I mean, you know, these agencies are coming up with proposals based on grants that they're going to receive from or have already budgeted out. Like with this strawberry lava, Carol, they have it ready for 10 to 20 years of monitoring what this release will do. They don't know what it's going to do. They set it out. Now their funding is going to be to see what it does. And a lot of people get a piece of that pie. So all these different agencies are going to be getting some of it. And that's why I think we're seeing such resistance. There's money, and the people who are economically invested in this, the agencies who are invested in this, are the decision makers with no third party.
Right.
And that's objective. Nobody to appeal to. And it shouldn't be that we have to take them to court every time for every issue that they do this to us.
Real quickly, give your websites and how people can contact you if they're interested, and real quick.
Yeah, one is www.savetheguava.com, and the other one is biodamage.com. And you can contact me off of those, or you can call me directly. Let me say those again. It's savetheguava.com. And the other one is biodamage.com, where I could be called on the Big Island at 935-5563.
Okay. Well, you know, it's painful. And I don't expect, I don't want to project much arrogance here. I know, I'll even admit at times that I'm arrogant. And if you're not arrogant, then something's wrong with you. Just, you should be proud of what you are, you know. Just know, learn how to contain it. I'm still working on that. But here's the thing. I have an expertise in the understanding and the science of alien species. None of these people whom I know personally has ever contacted me. So what that suggests to me is that with this strategy, I have to draw the parallels. I'm sick and tired of environmentalists telling me how bad George Bush is, and sick and tired of this liberal, they talk about liberal, we have a great understanding. When you lend yourself to this practice, now I understand it, how you can be so critical of George Bush. You see, and that's not a political statement, but that's someone need to learn to police themselves. The greenies need to police themselves, and I don't mean the Green Party. There is something terribly wrong when people start out to protect the environment and protect the people and protect the Aina and protect the culture and the people and the native Hawaiians, and then lend themselves to become conduits to this kind of practice, to lend themselves as being implements to silence people like you, Sid.
Yes, and they use the legislature, too. They just start passing laws that start, that, you know, for example, the strawberry guava is listed by the Hawaii Department of Ag as an ornamental.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even listed as a noxious weed. And they have no right to attack something that's not on their noxious weed list.
Yeah.
But so what do they do? They'll just go to the legislature and demand that it's listed as a noxious weed. And that's the way these guys operate. They just make the laws to support their ideology, and if you don't agree with their enviro-Nazi ideology, and I consider it a, I consider it a tyrannical, fascistic not ideology, because they're telling us their value for the environment, the way they define it, should trump everybody else's consideration, and they feel like they're on this moral high ground, and they're not. If they were such a high ground, then they should be able to engage others honestly on an even playing field where truth can prevail and where science is real science, not some just statements. For example, they're saying the strawberry guava is bad for the watershed. That's based on one geologist's opinion at the University of Hawaii who wrote a letter to the editor in the Tribune Herald. That's what they're citing as their evidence. It's not even a published study. That's not science. And yet, before, they claimed in their EA, the researcher from the USDA said that the strawberry guava is important for the watershed because it's holding the soil down. And in some places, that's all that's holding the soil down. So they contradict themselves. They then put up straw men to say whatever they want, or they put up, like you say, a fake organization to make it seem like they have huge amounts of support. And all it is a handful of very determined ideologues who want to force everyone to live their way. And there's more to the environment than that. It's every if we all live here. And
so, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. You know, one of the things, and we're closing down here, if you you hear a little nervousness in the voice there, but one of the things, when I say self-policing, no matter what the great strategy is on the part of the government, it was up to the organization, the NGO, to say, no, if we can post our information up on a state website, will others be? I mean, ask that question. I ask it all the time. I don't want special favors, right? So ask that question. Are you there? We lost him. But anyway, this is one of those things where the individual organization has to say no. Stand up and say, if I get a special favor, then I'm basically facilitating you, the government, to deprive the individuals or other citizens of their voice. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Now, for those of you out there that want to take issue with me, please don't hesitate to call. I'll give you the hour, the 2 hours, whatever it is you want. I have invited, as I've stated before, individuals from those organizations and the Species Council, and they say, well, on Sundays, that's my busy day. I get to rest. And then the other said, well, I'll be back out of town for 3 weeks, but never offered any time. All right, you're back there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we're going to close down in about, you got about 30 seconds real quick, like, and hang in there, and we'll get you on the other show on the Hawaii Bulletin Board.
Well, that's great. All I want to say is for more information, again, savetheguava.com and biodamage.com, or call me at 935-5563. And if you're an attorney and you'd like the help, we could use it. Because unfortunately, that's, I think, where this is going to have to go.
Okay, Sid. Well, thank you. And we'll get back and do another one and keep the fight and stick in there. So,
thank you, Carol. I appreciate your helping bring this problem to the public's attention. Thank you.
Okay, and aloha. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thanks for joining.
Beautiful lady, real fine lady.
Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.